Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Well, what a day to be on call. After having multiple flights canceled, I thought, what am I going to do with my weekend? Joe Beamer was out. We did Hardline. Spoke to Professor Iacobucci from Buffalo State, who's a joy. Spoke to Jack O'Donnell, another joy from O'Donnell Associates. Even heard from Dr. Mark Epstein asking, hey, everyone on the inside said Joe Biden was going to be out of the race for president by Sunday. Didn't happen. Even the pundits on the morning shows were saying, President Biden, you must respect his strength. Well, moments ago, the President of the United States, through a letter that he puts on X.com, has announced he is dropping out of the 2024 sweepstakes. He will not seek a second term, and he endorses Kamala Harris in that race, opening up Pandora's box to guess what, bud? If you're the President of the United States, and you, why are you getting out of this race? Is it because of your health? You don't have the strength? You don't have the ability? How is it that you can do the job? Now this opens up more questions than it answers, and it puts America in crisis mode. Because honestly, what do I believe? I've had government institutions tell me everything I'm seeing with my own eyes is not true. The media, ABC News and CNN and everyone else, have literally backed up what you have heard from government officials time and time again. And now we find out, oh, you were right all along? What a horrible look. Let's bring in the expert, Carl Calabrese, a man who joins us only when big news breaks and on Fridays at 1 o'clock on my program. Carl, this is shocking, but it's not shocking. Where do you classify it?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good description. It's shocking because anytime an incumbent president decides not to run, that's shocking. Is it shocking because he made that decision? No, I think the longer this went on, the more obvious it became that he was losing support of key members of Congress and some very, very significant donors who were threatening not only to withhold money from him, but also from House and Senate Democrat candidates. And, you know, that gets right to the self-interest of everybody in those two houses. So, you know, it's shocking. I can remember as a boy watching Lyndon Johnson on television in late March of 1968 announce that he would not seek the nomination for re-election. That was shocking. Lots of shoes yet to fall, though, David. We'll see what happens if Kamala Harris, if you believe the polls of delegates, she was the first choice, or is the first choice, of some 75% of the delegates. It'll be interesting to see how the party leadership handles this convention now. Do they just put out the word to other potential candidates, don't bother, we want Kamala, we've got the delegates, you're going to embarrass yourself, you're going to hurt your future in the party, so just back off like you did in 2020 during the primaries, or do they make it an open convention? I don't think that will happen, but if it does, there will probably be chaos inside the hall as well as all of the protesters outside the hall. Could be deja vu 1968 all over again.
I mean, any candidate she picks to be a running mate will just automatically be more electable than she is. I mean, there's like, you can't screw that up. You can't find someone that is going to bring her down. It's going to be the opposite. Look, here's the thing. My question to you is, all I heard about was the chaos under Donald Trump, how the norms were broken, how, you know, we have to get away from this Donald Trump cancer because, you know, there's certain, that's a rule of law, and there's certain things and norms that we follow. I got Tony Blinken casually announcing that Iran will get a bomb the same day the Bills start training camp, like as if that wasn't a big story. And now I've got a president of the United States that decides not to run for re-election through his X.com feed. with no intention to address the American people? I mean,
bizarre.
How do I even know he did this? How do I know this isn't a coup bizarre. Right now?
Yeah, it's bizarre that he did not make an announcement, much like Lyndon Johnson did, nationally televised address to the American people. They deserve that. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what medications he's on because of COVID. It might be making him foggier than he is on a normal day. I don't know. But it does not have a good look to it. And by the way, David, interesting that, you know, we heard for 4 years we had to, you know, the rule of law, Donald Trump is breaking the rule of law. All the while the Democrats were using the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA to break the rule of law in going after Donald Trump. Again, it's a classic case of projection, them accusing Republicans of doing exactly what they were doing at the time.
And assuming that this guard is going to stick around, I mean, look, in the last 2 weeks alone, Carl, either the people that are representing the most powerful man in the world are completely out of touch with reality, or they are lying directly to our face. I'm trying to find an apparatus of this administration that has any ounce of honor or integrity. You represent the office of the president, and for everything you say about Donald Trump and his behavior, you have literally denied to the American people access to the president. He hasn't answered a question. We have no idea if he's at, I mean, listen, if you sent Pelosi and Schumer to talk President Biden out of running, you could make the argument that this is an apparatus to overtake the government. I mean, this could, how is this not looked at as, you know, outside forces forcing the most powerful man in the country to not run for office? I don't see how this is constitutional.
Well, I mean, it is constitutional in the sense that the Constitution doesn't specify how a party goes about choosing its candidates. But that's exactly what we saw, was a revolt within the party, an attempted bloodless coup to convince him not to run and to bring to bear every lever of pressure that you have in politics, elected officials, party officials, money officials, newspapers, editorials. I mean, it was just an onslaught of messaging. You've got to step down. And it looked like that, you know, Joe Biden's an experienced politician. He can read polls. He can put his wet thumb in the air and figure out which way the wind is blowing. It was pretty obvious.
But I don't think he is. But Carl, see, my point is, I'm not just saying that what we heard today is he's stepping down from the race. I'm saying this is the beginning of him leaving office before his term is up.
Oh,
because there's absolutely no way that is not the next shoe to drop. There's a constitutional apparatus to remove a president. The Democrats choose not to follow that. And they essentially sent people to the Oval Office to say, get out or else. Did they threaten him? What did they do? We can't have people removed this way. It's unbelievable. Well, it's without precedent.
They obviously convinced his inner circle, which probably was just two or three people, his wife, his son, and his brother. They obviously got to them that, you know, it's time. And I think, the legacy argument is probably what did it. I never believed for a minute that the Democrat donors threatening to withhold money from Biden and or the Senate and House candidates would actually do it when the race started. Because if Joe Biden is the nominee and he loses to Trump, the party is going to be looking for scapegoats. And the big donors, if they withheld that money and produced a loss for Joe Biden, they would be the scapegoats. They know that. So I never believed that when the shooting starts that money wouldn't begin to flow. But I think that the argument they probably used with his closest advisors was the legacy one. You're going to lose this race. Do you want to go down in history as the Democrat who handed Donald Trump a second term? Because that will be your legacy, or your legacy will be you stepped aside for the good of the country, the good of the party, and, you know, you're a hero now. But I think that was a very powerful argument. They showed him and his inner circle that he was most likely going to lose to Trump, and that would then be his legacy. And I think that probably hit home more than anything else. Now, will he step down from the office of presidency before January 1st, or 21st, whatever the inauguration day is, remains to be seen. He's certainly going to stay around long enough to pardon his son. I'll tell you that right now. Watch for that pardon to occur after Election Day.
If he steps down before Election Day
and pardons his son, that's going to be a real weight around Kamala Harris or whoever the Democrat nominee is in an election. So I doubt they're going to pardon. He's going to pardon Hunter before Election Day. So I think he stays in office until November 5th, at least.
I think that the forces have already lined up where the only thing Joe Biden had are the argument of, I have to be mentally with it. I'm running for office. I can't do all this stuff and not be with it. Now you're saying you're getting out because of the polling. Well, the polling tells you they don't believe you're with it. So guess what? A cognitive test or a diagnosis into what he's got going on for him. But I didn't think it was possible for the Democrats to put themselves in a worse situation. But somehow, even him, Joe Biden, deciding not to run has now, I mean, if the Republicans wanted to, they could hijack this entire election rest of the season on arguing the 25th Amendment.
Yes, they could. They most certainly could. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see that theme developed. But, you know, it's one of many themes that are going to be developed that Republicans can use to their advantage. You know, David, they've just started to do polls on head-to-head Trump versus Harris. And there are three out this week. One was the general matchup nationwide. And Trump had the same lead over Harris nationwide as he does over Biden, about 3 points. In the two states, one of these is a critical state. Florida, Trump has a 10-point lead over her. That's about 2 points, 3 points. No, I'm sorry, that's a good 4 or 5 points higher than what he had over Biden. Unlike the past, Florida is no longer a key state. The other state that was polled, however, is a key state, and that is Arizona. And he's got a 6-point lead over.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Over Harris in Arizona, it's about 1 point higher than what he had for Biden. So it'll be interesting now to see the polls come out for those other 6 key states and how Trump's numbers match up against Harris versus how he was doing against Biden.
So Harris basically has to run a campaign like Lieutenant Governor Hochul did, which is, I wasn't around. I wasn't there I wasn't there enough to notice that the guy was in decline. I didn't lie to the American people every single day. I wasn't at the job. What does she do?
Well, I mean, she's in a really tough spot. You know, the old damned if you do and damned if you don't. I mean, if she says she was the closest person to Joe Biden other than Jill, well, then you have to ask, well, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you do anything? So that's a condemnation. Or she says, I didn't know anything. I was out of the loop. And that in itself is a condemnation. So how much of a participating partner in governing could you have been if you were out of the loop so far that you couldn't see his mental decline that the entire nation, who were never near the loop, saw? So she's in a tough spot on this one. This is going to be quite a dance to watch unfold.
And as far as candidates go, for her to bring in as a partner, I mean, this can only bring the ticket up. You look at states like Pennsylvania, they've got an all-star for a governor out there. But, you know, there are other names that are being thrown about. As far as her choice for VP, she's almost got to make her own J.D. Vance choice and, you know, go with someone maybe in the Midwest, a Rust Belt.
Probably. Look at the key to the White House for both parties is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And, you know, she's got a couple of good players there. I think the best one would be Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. Shapiro on that ticket probably delivers Pennsylvania to the Democrats, and that really complicates the math for Trump. But they've also got Whitmer in Michigan that could be a player. Her name was being mentioned as a possible replacement for Biden if the party had an open convention. And so, she's got a couple of good choices in that Rust Belt. that could be very, very influential in the Electoral College math.
So let's just look at just you're a delegate for the Democrats. Biden says he wants it to be Harris. But you're also a party that faced, you know, a coronation in 2016, the super delegate nonsense that screwed over Bernie Sanders, and really a 24 process where you had notable people that wanted to get involved but were told to not get involved. How do you avoid an open convention with your track record of the last 15 years of the DNC?
Well, David, as I've said, I still admire what the Democrat leadership did in 2020 in getting all of the candidates out of the race amicably. You're talking Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg and, well, Bernie Sanders, obviously, but there were just the Amy Klobuchar. They all stepped down nicely, complimented Biden, got on the ticket. That was really something to watch, given that Biden was on the ropes. Biden had lost, I think, three primaries and a caucus prior to South Carolina, which saved him because of Jim Clyburn, the very powerful Democrat congressman there. And so they pulled off a real, real display of party discipline. Could they do that again? Yeah, sure, absolutely. There's not a lot of dissent in the Democrat Party anymore. It's become a party of orthodoxy. They're very good at waving both the carrot and the stick at people who might want to oppose them. And it usually works.
So let's just talk about what's happened in a period of 5 months. I mean, this is really a rather strange juxtaposition. You had a guy running for president who literally was facing four credible court cases. And each one of them was different. Each one of them had a different approach, but there was a potential. Donald Trump had to run the table and pool, right? He couldn't miss at all. And now we're looking at Judge Marchand in the sentencing in September, and a justice whistleblower just came forward and said that there's serious talk about that case being dismissed because Judge Marchand used federal White House witnesses that now under the Supreme Court would qualify as, basically he could have used them through executive privilege. So if he's immune from prosecution, you can't interview his people. You certainly can't convict on the testimony of people that you interviewed. That case goes away, and now he's the front runner, and Joe Biden's out of the race. This is nuts.
Oh, it is. I mean, as you said, Donald Trump has really had a run here. I always thought this Marchand case would go away on appeal. I thought he ran such a poor trial, violated so many rules, that on appeal it would be overturned. But obviously that doesn't happen until after election. Now this comes down, and it could very well be dismissed, just as the Florida case was dismissed. And if it does, where does that put us? If Marchand cannot sentence Trump because this case is thrown out prior to September 11th, I've always thought there was a chance Marchand might sentence him, if not to prison, home confinement, home imprisonment, just to make the point that he's going to pay, and number two, to take him off the campaign trail for 20 or 30 days. So if that is taken away, where is Trump then? I mean, what's left? The D.C. and the Florida cases are gone. The Atlanta case with Fannie Willis seems to be gone. They're appealing the monetary judgment on the civil case, which could be drastically reduced. Yeah, he's pretty much run the table. And the thing is the Democrats thought that this lawfare would get Trump, that they could turn the tables on him and turn his people away from him, and just the opposite has happened. He's raised more money. His base is more solid than ever. He may even be picking up some votes of people who are saying, I'm not a big Trump fan, but what the system is trying to do to him is wrong, it's dangerous, and okay, let's give him another shot at the White House. So it is totally backfired. Again, we talked about this the other day, David. When the history of this race is written, the lawfare backfiring will be a major chapter in that book, and the decision by the Biden people to call for a debate before the convention, to do it in June, will also be a chapter, maybe two chapters in that book.
So the experts and the people are saying that the front runner for VP in this is Peter Buttigieg, because he doesn't damage the party with a vacancy and he has a personal relationship with Kamala Harris. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Does anyone believe that this election, as it goes through currently in its present form with a new candidate for president and a new vice president, that that's not going to take unpacking of any sort? Like, the American people are just going to accept a razzle dazzle? What's even the point? I mean, this is a California jungle primary. You know, how crazy they do those elections. Don't we have ballot access issue in like 20 states? How do you get Joe Biden off the ballot in those states?
I think you'd have to go to each state and examine what the law is that, you know, deals with a vacancy of a candidate. Good question. I don't know. I mean, in this country, the states are in charge of their election laws, and they're all different, and they all have different deadlines. It's a hodgepodge. It's a real.
They fought so hard. The Democrats fought so hard to get early voting and ballot access with absentee, balloting, and you push the dates so far early to certify these ballots. How do you decertify what you worked so hard in your state legislature to change? I mean, you built this world that you have to live in.
Well, in those states where you have Democrat legislatures, that logical argument will not matter. It's a question of power and winning elections. And I'll tell you, David, I'd be shocked if they did not go with either Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, or Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. The math is so clear for both candidates that Joe Biden literally has to win all three of those states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, to get to 270 votes. Trump only has to win one. But if Kamala Harris is the nominee and she puts Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, on that ticket, it's a twofer. Number one, it probably gets her Pennsylvania. And number two, Josh Shapiro is Jewish. And right now, the Democrats are having difficulty with the Jewish vote in their coalition because of this Hamas situation in Gaza. And so by putting Josh Shapiro on that ticket, they may not only get Pennsylvania, but they may also bring back into the fold a lot of Jewish voters who have been questioning their loyalty to the Democrat Party after the last several months.
Carl Calabrese, I mean, he's been talking about Josh Shapiro for years, but if you want to look at the way that Governor Shapiro handled that Trump shooting, just brilliantly. He had empathy. He sounded like, you know, he's sincere. He's not over the top, and yet his beliefs are kind of over the top, you know, but yet it doesn't come across like he's a radical.
No. What's over the top is his ability to cover his over the top beliefs. That's a real skill. And he can do it, and he does it. He's seen as a moderate, but if you took a test on positions and issues, he'd be pretty far to the left. But he's not governing that way, and by certainly in appearance and rhetoric, he's not governing that way. But like I say, if I were Kamala Harris's campaign manager, I'd be saying, what is Josh Shapiro's phone number? Let's get him on the phone right now.
I'll tell you the excellent idea, and you heard Carl Calabrese for many months talking about how great Shapiro is. I think he's right. Carl, right as always. Hey, thank you for your time, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you, David. More big news to come, I'm sure.
Who are we going to call? We're going to call Carl Calabrese. That's what we always do. But Carl, thank you so much for your time,
sir. Thank you, David.
This Sunday, breaking news, Joe Biden not running for president in 2024, stepping down for the ticket and endorsing Kamala Harris for the ticket. Oh, that's not that easy. You've got a convention coming up after the Olympics. What happens between now and then? What happens to the people that credibly say, after being lied to for literally 3.5 years, if you're not up for running for president, how can we trust you to run the country? What? How could you possibly make this more complicated? They just did. Joe Biden will not run for president in 2024. Kamala Harris will, but she's still the vice president. And is that going to change? 803-0930. Joe Calley is here running the board. We appreciate him. We'll be back right after this.